From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today we have another story in our series Climate Connections with National Geographic. If you go to the Mojave Desert, you'll find trees that look like something out of Dr. Seuss. They're short and gnarled with dagger-like spines. They're called Joshua trees. It's said that Mormon pioneers thought their limbs looked like the outstretched arms of Joshua guiding them to the Promised Land. Well, Joshua trees even have a national park named after them in southeastern California, but as NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports, some scientists are worried that climate change could push the tree to extinction.
To understand the Joshua tree and the challenges it faces from climate change, you have to take a trip underground and 13,000 years into the past.
You might want a helmet because it's real easy just to bang your head on a rock.
I'm about 15 miles from Las Vegas with U.S. Geological Survey scientist Ken Cole. This is some of the most parched land in the country. During the Ice Age, Joshua trees thrived here and throughout much of the Southwest. Now the closest one is dozens of miles away at higher altitude. Why did the trees thrive in ancient days but not now? Cole says it's because a large, now extinct plant-eating animal called the giant ground sloth roamed this area and helped Joshua trees. He says the evidence is in Gypsum Cave.
What we're going to have to do is walk down this debris slope here, and then you see that black hole? I think it's right about there. You have to lower yourself down about 5 feet.
Cole takes the lead. His colleague Sandy Swift brings up the rear. We make it through the narrow entrance, and the cave opens up into a big room.
What did the ground sloth look like?
To me, the ground sloth looks like a fuzzy Volkswagen Beetle.
Scientists who excavated here more than 70 years ago found parts of skeletons, hides, and hair from ground sloths, and layers of dung.
The reports said there was so much Joshua tree leaves and seeds and fruits in these deposits that Joshua tree must have been the favorite food of the ground sloth.
And Cole says that was great for Joshua trees. After eating the fruits, the sloths could travel 10 miles or more. Then they left the seeds behind in piles of manure that were great fertilizer for new trees. Most of the sloth dung was removed from the cave decades ago. But Cole says there's still some here, in a small alcove off the main cave. Sandy Swift crawls right in.
You can get a whiff of the dung down here.
It's unbelievable that something put here 13,000 years ago still has an odor, but it does. The discovery clearly delights her.
It's not everybody that can say they know what sloth looks like.
The ground sloth didn't survive the big warm-up after the Ice Age, so it couldn't play Johnny Appleseed for Joshua trees anymore. Since then, the tree's range has shrunk to one-tenth of what it was. Cole says no modern animal is capable of helping the Joshua tree migrate long distances, so he predicts global warming will shrink the tree's range a lot more. That could have a huge impact at a national park 200 miles away. Cole predicts Joshua trees will go extinct in 50 to 100 years in Joshua Tree National Park. So I went to the park to ask rangers, like Joe Zarkey, what they make of that prediction.
One of the questions I guess we talk about, at least internally on an informal basis, is, well, what do you have here as a national park without Joshua trees?
Joshua trees are a type of yucca that grow 30 feet or taller. The ends of their short branches are covered with clusters of green leaves with spiny tips. An early explorer named John Fremont called it the most repulsive plant in the vegetable kingdom.
People nowadays, I think, look at it and they see this really distinctive, you know, sort of whimsical-looking plant.
Do you like them?
I like them, yeah. I mean, it's a plant with character. It's got a lot of character.
Zarkey and I are touring the park with Jim Cornett, an independent ecologist who's been studying Joshua trees for almost 20 years. Cornett doesn't buy Ken Cole's grim prediction about the trees disappearing from the park.
There's no question that a warming of the climate would reduce the suitable habitat for Josh trees in the park, but not eliminate it.
Cornett believes the trees still would grow in higher, cooler elevations of the park. Still, as we hike across the desert on a gorgeous day, Cornett says Joshua trees have done poorly since he started tracking them. He stops to show me something. When he began his research, a magnificent Joshua tree stood here.
and now it's dead. And this one is dead, and that one over there is dead. I can find a dozen trees that have died during the study, and only one tree that came up.
The trees in some hotter sections of the park have fared even worse. But is climate change the reason? Cornett says there are other explanations.
All the decline that I have seen, I can attribute to drought in the last decade and fires.
Cornett says it's possible climate change is playing a role. He says one thing's for certain. If Joshua trees go, the whole ecosystem will suffer.
Let's walk a little bit further.
Cornett takes me to a big branch that's recently fallen off a Joshua tree onto the ground. Its leaves have clearly been nibbled, he says, by a thirsty jackrabbit. During the driest times, the only way many animals can find moisture is by gnawing through the live tree's bark.
Things like the antelope ground squirrel, the desert wood rat, and the black-tailed jackrabbit are now all known to utilize that moisture during times of extreme drought. And of course, if those animals survive, then the coyotes and the foxes and the hawks continue to have animals to prey on, and then they survive as well. So the Joshua tree is like the great canteen of the desert.
It's also a great draw for tourists. Loretta and Jim Gilbert were visiting the park to celebrate Jim's retirement.
And what do you think about a Joshua tree with no Joshua trees?
Well,
what's the point?
It would not be Joshua tree then any longer. It would just be space. Yes. The Joshua trees are very special. Something I would hope that the future generations would be able to see and enjoy.
Whether or not that will be possible is beyond the power of park officials. They say that's because stopping or slowing global warming will take a worldwide effort. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News.
And you can hear more stories in our series at npr.org/climateconnections.